a lot of trades, NHL, NBA. I teased this going to the break, Joe, and I figured you'd like this. Maybe you can help explain how these trades might work as the NBA gets nutty on trades.
Uh-huh.
But from Underdog NBA, and according to Fred Katz, who is a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, the Rockets and Suns are working on expanding the Kevin Durant trade.
Okay.
Because is that deal not done yet?
I had never seen it officially announced by either side.
So the Rockets and Suns are working on expanding the Kevin Durant trade into a deal that would include seven teams.
That's unbelievable.
So it's the Rockets and the Suns and the Hawks, Nets, Warriors, Lakers, and Wolves.
Okay. A seven-team trade. Seven other teams? No, that they
a
would
record seven teams.
Okay, so including them. Okay, right. Yeah. Seven.
Rockets, Suns, Hawks, Nets, Warriors, Lakers, Wolves. If you're another team, do you just call up and say, "Yo, hey, wanna make it eight?"
Yeah.
Just throw me in there. I gotta pick.
And eventually just everybody in the league eventually just gets involved in some way, shape, or form.
On a Zoom call with six teams and the Nets GM's like, "Hang on a second, I'm gonna call the T-Wolves. I gotta get them in on this to bridge this gap."
Yeah.
A seven team trade.
This is where
I need this to happen.
See, you like this. This is where I feel like the NBA they overcomplicate their rules so like to try to prevent super teams. Just they go way too far with it. Like matching salaries, right, and bird rights, and just like there's the first apron, second apron. There's all this crazy whatever. Eligibility for different contracts, and I don't know. It is very hard to keep track of and to know like what the rules actually are. Like, why do they need seven? Probably just to like match up salaries or something. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe LeBron's going to be in the deal or something. You want LeBron to the Warriors, right? Aren't they both involved in this?
I do want LeBron to the Warriors.
And the Lakers and the Warriors are two of the teams mentioned as being a part of this 17-team trade.
If the Durant trade includes LeBron of the Warriors, then it becomes the LeBron trade, right?
I don't know. Yes. It would be the LeBron-Durant trade, even though they're not being traded for each other.
What is the in-the-clubhouse leader for the most blockbuster trade of all time in all sports? What is the biggest?
Gretzky.
That's Gretzky for cash?
Yeah.
I mean, name for name, biggest blockbuster we've ever seen where, I don't know, somebody of the podcast should do one of these. Like, I ran all the numbers. And
yeah,
you know, the most famous people involved in a trade. Biggest name where you're shocked either one of them could be moved. Like a LeBron. We're mentioning Durant in a trade. If LeBron and Durant are in the same trade.
Yeah.
That's the biggest of all time. It's got to be. What's the leader in the clubhouse? I don't have this answer. I'm trying to think of it.
That involves two players.
Yes. Not just the biggest player moved for a bunch of stuff.
That would be bigger than the... It's more name power than the Luka trade.
Sure. I mean,
Luka for
Anthony Davis is pretty big.
But like in terms of... And they're younger, but name power, LeBron over Luka and Durant over Anthony Davis.
Yes.
For sure. I don't know. What is the leader in the clubhouse?
And I don't want... Brett Favre got nobody knew who he was.
You don't want that. You don't want Babe Ruth being sold for cash.
No, I don't want
for the Yankees.
Cash is not a star. I mean, cash is. Pretty
and you
great.
Also don't want like Elway for the first overall, like the draft. You don't want a draft trade.
No, I want the biggest names ever included in the same draft in the same trade on each side. Where it's, I can't even think of who it would be.
Is there a hockey trade that would work for this?
There definitely are going to be some.
I can't think of one, though, that's like both on both sides, you're getting like a superstar.
Right. Like the Lindros trade is huge for the volume going back the other way, but that's a draft pick. All right. Think about this for a minute. Give us a call. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And a fun little Bills note. Benjamin Solak's got a, you know, peak offseason list kind of thing, but it's cool. And it's got two current Bills on it. I'll tell you about that. Two current Bills that are on it and one that is not. Suspiciously. And that's coming up on WGR.
I think Baltimore still has a chance. The thing that I struggle with in Buffalo is when everything's scripted, that team seems to be okay. But when there it comes down to a fourth quarter where you have to, they have to make either an important play or an important decision by the coach, they always seem to dribble down their leg. So to me, Buffalo will always just hit that proverbial ceiling, and they can be the Charles Barkley to the Michael Jordan, unfortunately for Josh Allen.
Shots fired from former Bills GM Doug Whaley on the state of the Bills. Charles Barkley to Michael Jordan. He's saying the coach? He's got to be. Decisions?
Yeah, I think
so. He's saying the coach. He's talking about the coach. And he says, unfortunate for Josh Allen. Like, he's saying the coach.
It has to be.
So yeah. There's Doug Whaley on the Bills.
They worked together for 3 months?
Yep.
4 months? They're in the draft room together in 2017 when they don't pick Mahomes and trade down.
That's right. Anyway, if you want that, it's right there. Ask the question, go to the break. What is the leader in the clubhouse for the biggest, most blockbuster trade in sports history?
Where, which we got on because Kevin Durant is involved in a 7-team trade.
Yes,
and
yes.
Like the Warriors and whoever. By the way, real quick before we get back to that, did you see Durant's tweet yesterday?
I did not.
Durant, everyone knows enough about Durant, maybe you don't, that he's like an epic Twitter guy, like fights with everybody, you know, like he's always getting into stuff. And somebody like is like, what's your deal, dude? Like, why do you get to like fight people on Twitter all the time? And he tweeted back at the person, shut up, I'll troll on Twitter till the day I expire. Don't let me distract you, dweeb. And that's gone far.
Wow.
He is going off on people in the last 24 hours because this trade's not completed yet. But anyways, so you asked that. I think there are going to be definitely bigger trades, obviously, nationally. Isn't the score to beat in Buffalo Turgeon for LaFontaine? Pierre Turgeon for Pat LaFontaine is a number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Who had put a, wasn't there, so I don't know like what the reaction was to that, but Turgeon put up a million points and you traded him for another team's like superstar.
Yeah, it
feels
pretty,
like that's insane.
It's pretty good.
That'd be like trading Dahlin right now for Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, with LaFontaine,
I think
LaFontaine had a 100-point season, 3 seasons. Other than that, over 80 points 4 times.
Turgeon had a 100-point season,
right,
for the Sabres.
So that's a good answer.
But nationally,
the biggest trade ever does not mean Gretzky and a one-sided one team got a big star. I'm talking about two guys cross paths on airplanes. Like, wow, look at this trade.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple answers here. We got a couple calls on this and a couple texts to get to as well. And I owe you this Benjamin Solek project about the best selection at every single draft pick.
Might make Bills fans, well, never. We'll get to it. They might have a reaction to it.
Couple quick tweets, and then we'll get a call on this about the biggest blockbuster trades. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, chimes in with Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis. That's a good one.
It's a really good one.
The Washington and Denver trade, that's not bad. Definitely a worthy mention.
Yep.
Diggs for Jefferson does not apply. That's Diggs for a first. That is not superstars crossing paths. LaFontaine, Turgeon, Eli for Rivers.
Yeah, that's big. But Rivers isn't drafted yet, right? Or is he?
They're both drafted that day.
Okay, so yeah, they already were picked, though.
They were picked. It's a big trade. Of course, it's a blockbuster, but not the same.
That's pretty good. I kind of like the Bailey Portis one.
Yeah.
Those, unless was one of them down at the time? Were they not both like elite at their position?
They were both pretty darn good.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's one I like a lot, and we'll get some calls. Goff for Stafford.
Good one.
That's a pretty good one.
Good one.
Goff had been to a Super Bowl with the Rams. Stafford had done not anything close to that with the Lions, despite being
better.
Probably better.
And putting up, I mean, his career at that point was, this dude is awesome. He just plays for the Lions.
Yeah, and they can't do anything around him. He's a former number one overall pick. Goff for Stafford is a good one here. I like that.
Goff was a little bit down at that point, right? People thought he was a cap dump when he's in that trade.
That's right. He goes to, I mean, he went to the Super Bowl, and then Belichick completely, you know, masterclassed him. And the Rams are, we can't win with this guy.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and has a pretty nice career after that.
By the way, I asked, like, was Portis maybe down or something? Like, was there a reason they got traded? The year before Clinton Portis got traded, he put up 1,591 yards, 14 touchdowns on the ground.
He was awesome.
So he was amazing.
He was fun to watch. He was awesome.
Yeah. I think I kind of missed out on him, I think. He's kind of done by the time, 2008, he puts up 1,500 yards, so maybe right at the end. I'm still seeing him at his peak, but like I don't remember him in Denver.
That's back where running backs putting up 1,500 was kind of normal. Like more guys used to do it.
And isn't he like he's one of these guys that goes beyond? Like he goes back to. Isn't he insane at Miami?
Yes.
Maybe I'm thinking about those Miami teams. Really, is like the thing that I like those that group of Miami players: Ed Reed, Ray Lewis. Like they're nearing the end. I feel like when I'm starting to finally get into all of those guys.
Yeah. Ron and Alden is up. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Morgan, I got two for you, one for the Sabres and one for a big major one. I think Herschel Walker for Jesse Salomon and Isaac Cole might be one of the big ones because there were names at the time, big names. Now, obviously, all those graphics were included also. But the number one Sabre trade of all time has to go back to the Danny Gare trade for Mike Foligno. Danny Gare, Jim Schoenfeld, and Derek Smith for Delmacorte, Mike Foligno, Brent Peterson, and someone else I'm missing. But that's probably the biggest trade because both those are Danny Gare was a 50-goal scorer back-to-back, and then he got traded the following year.
Yeah.
And then Delmacorte was the major player comeback, and Mike Foligno became really good. So those are just my thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks, Ron. Yeah, I don't know that the Herschel Walker trade is a very famous big trade. I don't know those names you're mentioning, Isaac Holton, Jesse Salomon, to be guys in the league, and maybe they were. You know how many pieces were on the Herschel Walker trade? I can't. People know it to be a big trade.
I just knew there were a lot of stuff, a lot of picks. Right?
Throw a number out there. How many pieces were in the Herschel Walker trade?
Eight.
18.
18?
18 pieces
on
in
both
this trade.
Sides combined.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes. And I also learned today that the Chargers were involved in that trade. I did not know that.
To what degree?
They got a running back out of it.
Okay. Ooh, that just made me think of for this three-way trade where. Who gets who? Eric Dickerson goes somewhere. Cornelius Bennett comes to the Bills, and maybe there's another player involved.
Greg Bell.
Bennett, Greg Bell.
Yeah.
So Dickerson is definitely, like by name stature, well above the others, but those were big-name players. I think Bennett even was a little bit before he got to the Bills, right?
Yeah.
That he mentions that we're going way back into Sabre history. How about the Sabres making trades like this back in the day, not being afraid to make it? They traded... Gare was a 50-goal scorer. Schoenfeld was the captain and like one of their top defensemen. And then Derek Smith, who had put up 65 points the year before. They traded all three of them in the same deal. Again, for like a modern comparison, is that trading Dahlin,
Tage,
and Benson all in the same deal?
Yeah.
And they got a lot back. I think
18 pieces in that Walker trade.
18 pieces.
Yeah. Including the Cowboys' 10th overall pick, which I did not realize that was something that Entdale. Whatever.
And they got that one, though, that doesn't work for this because.
No.
Like, that's only the one big name. You can't throw Troy Aikman and like in the pick, what the picks become after the fact into the deal. You didn't know what that was going to be at the time.
Right. That's
Michael Irvin maybe
a
is
monster
in that
trade. But like, right. The most name power involved in a single trade.
Right. That one doesn't work for me because it's only one. It's Herschel Walker. It's a huge trade, but that's not the most star power that I can get my hands on.
Rich in Naples. Hey, Rich, good morning.
Good morning, guys. So morning. You got me on the Bennett one. I actually went to the first game after they traded for Bennett, and it was one series, and they started double-teaming him. It was hilarious because it was great to watch. Mm-hmm. Anyways, real quick, I know the rumor is now, Calgary's involved with this. What would we – anybody want to speculate and see what we're actually after there? Is there somebody we're after? And who would that be? And if we're going to speculate, let's figure out what that trade could be and help them out.
I've seen –
Who would it be?
Thanks, Rich. I've seen – all right, Bo Byram and Calgary. If – What I've seen is, and this is generally how trades go. If you're on the internet, if you're on Twitter and you're following people talking trades, how eager is a fan base to get rid of the player versus no, you can't have that player? And the more I don't want to trade that guy away, then obviously the better the return. A great example of this law of we need like a name on this, like someone that coined this, Murphy's Law. This is so-and-so's law. If the player has been traded 100 times in the offseason by all of the fans, it's not that good of a trade. Epenesa's Law. This is
Epenesa's Law.
AJ Epenesa has been traded 600 times this offseason on the airwaves in this station to get another player. Epenesa's Law.
Epenesa's Law.
So okay. The one name I see the most in Calgary is Connor Zeri.
I see that a lot, too.
Connor Zeri is a 23-year-old center.
He's an RFA.
He's an RFA. He had 27 points last year. I see his name a lot as, like, who would the Sabres want back? That's a guy they would want back.
27 points last year.
Yeah.
Yikes. Right.
What do you want? I'm just telling you.
No, I know. Yeah. Just,
what other names? Is Rasmus Anderson a name here? You're seeing it all?
Now, he's a defenseman that has 1 year left in his contract, and he has said it. It's been reported. He will only sign with Vegas.
Okay. So here's
that's tough.
Here's a great example, then, of Rasmus Anderson. If Anderson won't sign with the Flames and they want to get rid of him, and they want Byram, and they want to go one for one, is he a good defenseman?
He's a good defenseman.
Okay.
He's a good defenseman.
He's a good idea for the Sabres?
He's a good defenseman. He's a better player than Byram is.
Here's a great little... You pick. Kevin Adams doesn't want futures. He wants now. Okay.
Yeah.
Rasmus Anderson for a year. No, that's not long enough of a now. Which is it? I can get an offer sheet and get a first round pick and a second round pick and a third round pick and help my future, or I could turn Byram into what I think would be an upgrade at defense. I would get even better and I would make the playoffs. If I told you right now they traded Bo Byram for nothing more than the eighth playoff spot, would you take it? And the player that they got back that helped them get over the line is not going to resign. What percentage of Sabres fans would say, deal?
This is a much watered-down version of when we asked how much we would trade for 1 year of McDavid a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Flames say you can have Anderson one for one because he's not going to resign with us, and the Sabres would know he's not going to resign with us either. We're going to try and make the playoffs. Rasmus Anderson and Connor Zeri. There you go. Done? I get one piece I can extend and one piece I'm using for 1 year. You don't want futures, you got to be willing to take a guy for 1 year.
It is. I feel like that's the type of idea I'm at a point where I'm just like, just do it.
Of course you should
Fine.
Do it.
Just do it. Like, future be damned. You got prospects. You know, Byram is. I'm really going to be worried about losing out on. If what's out there for him right now is like some team's fifth best prospect and a late first round pick, like how much am I really missing out on for the future? You know, like, sure, I lose this guy for nothing, but what are the odds that the one season of a better defenseman are actually going to, in the long run, be more value than a whole career of the late first round pick? You might hear that and think, oh, the whole career of the late first-round pick is going to be more valuable. But I almost want to guarantee you that doesn't happen as often as you think it does. That there would be a lot of instances where the whole career, the totality of that player that you might get at, like, let's say it's like 22nd mm-hmm. overall, that whole career might not actually give you as much worth as the 1 year of, in this case, which would be like, he would be your top pair defenseman.
I want to...
With Darlene.
I want to make a meta. I want to have a metaphor here about what the Sabres should do. They need to pay more. Adams yesterday said, how do you change all this? We got to win hockey games. Got to win hockey games. And that is often aligned with getting good players, long-term contracts, signing up, sustained success. That's actually not what they need right now. If they need to win hockey games, that means you need to do whatever you can to win hockey games. Make the playoffs. Start to change anybody's idea of what it's like to be here. Imagine Rasmus Anderson comes here and he's the finishing piece, Luukkonen rebounds, whatever. It just goes well. It doesn't have to be this one player. The idea is...
Sure.
The metaphor I'm going for is you are paying an initiation fee at a country club.
Mm-hmm.
You have a one-time payment to get into the club.
Yeah.
You made the playoffs. And now you got to pay your dues every year and continue to get there and continue to get there. But to finally cross that threshold,
yeah,
to be a playoff team, you cannot do it without, probably as the Buffalo Sabres, you cannot do it without saying, we're going to just pay more, do more, whatever it takes to be members of the club. Because right now you are not. And you were never going to get there with all these modest moves, modest trades. Well, right. That doesn't fit our timeline. Well, you know, I'm not going to do something. I'm not going to take futures. Okay, you can't take futures. Great. If you can't take futures, can you take one season right now, guys? Because you should.
Yeah. You know what it would really be like? It's like, as everyone gets ready for their bonfires this weekend, it would be like the kindling to the fire that you can't get started. You keep trying to spark this thing, and you can't. And guess what? Throw a piece. This is your piece of cardboard on it. Light up the cardboard.
It's gonna burn fast.
It's gonna burn out in 8 seconds. But you might be left with a fire at the end of it that, like,
yeah.
You can actually add to.
Well, I wasn't able to extend the cardboard, Joe.
Right.
Great. You got something going.
Right.
Jerry and Kenmore. Hey, Jerry, what's up?
I'm going to go really old school here. In the mid-70s, the Boston Bruins and the New York Rangers made a trade. Phil Esposito, who I still believe is like sixth all-time in goals, and Carol Vadnais to the Rangers for Brad Park and Jean Rattel, who are both Hall of Famers.
Okay. You know, thanks, Jerry. You know what I'm realizing here is the NHL back in the day was a lot more fun.
Like the NBA?
You had these all the time. Someone else just tweeted in, the Sabres have another one of these. Right after they traded, they did the Turgeon for LaFontaine trade, they traded Dave Andrechuk, Darren Poop, and a first-round pick for Grant Fuhr, who was what at that point? A five-time winning Stanley Cup goaltender? Not saying that worked, but how about name power at that point? You traded an amazing scorer off your top line for, was Grant Fuhr like the most famous goaltender in the league at that point? He probably was, wasn't he?
Yeah, up there.
And those deals just happened all the time in the 70s, 80s, and 90s? Someone yelling into the radio right now? It's because they didn't have no trade clauses.
Yeah, that's going to be a part of it. 803-0550. We did talk.
Have we landed on an answer for what we think the score to beat is, by the way? We have a lot of good nominees. What's the best one, though?
I think the best answer for biggest name trade in the clubhouse, it's not the Lindros trade. Sorry, it's not the Lindros trade. Lindros was number one in Forsberg. These guys were not huge established stars at the time. It's not the Lindros trade.
Did we mention this on the air or before? The Subban for Shea Weber trade?
That's a good one. Steve Francis for Tracy McGrady?
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Luka and Anthony Davis for sure. I like Goff for Stafford a lot.
Yeah.
Kiko Alonso for McCoy is a Bills one that's pretty good for names.
That's not
Alfonso
bad.
Alfonso Soriano for Alex Rodriguez. Huberto for Tkachuk is a really good one.
Was A-Rod traded for
Alfonso Soriano?
Yeah, that was the one you just mentioned, right? Yeah. That's pretty good, too. A lot of these I feel like are on the same level.
Yeah.
You never get, like, the genesis of this was, what if LeBron was in the Durant trade?
Right.
None of this is that, right? The stars of the league, like, the best players in the sport. You know,
have we mentioned Weber Subban?
We just did for a second there.
That's what I thought. That one was interesting, but it never, like, those two guys were elite, but not at that level.
No, you're right. Not on the level of LeBron and Durant are like the two biggest names in the sport. What is that? That's McDavid for Crosby, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe not McDavid, but Crosby for Ovechkin.
Mm-hmm.
That's Crosby for Ovechkin in the same trade, isn't it?
That's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
That level. I don't see one of these from our not. Like, these are all really good players. These are Hall of Famers. These are stars. But none of these are the two biggest names in your sport. Or two of the three, four biggest names. Durant, Curry, I'm not going to nitpick.
Trades involve Hall of Fame players traded for each other. I got a list on that one now.
Okay.
But again, a lot of that's going to be they were not yet Hall of Famers.
Right.
Like, again, you can't be a
Rivers and Eli if they both make the Hall of Fame. Like they didn't play a snap yet.
Kobe Bryant for Vlade Divac. Like, at the time, looking back, that's massive. But at the time, it's a trade.
Also, I'm inclined not to count any of those draft day NBA trades because of the, oh, we know we're trading. I mean, we tell you who they're going to pick and whoever Dirk Nowitzki puts on a Milwaukee Bucks hat knowing that he's already on the Mavericks. Like, that, all that. The NBA draft, all NBA trade stuff is way overcomplicated. Just simplify it.
803-0550, our phone number. Jeremy and Joe on a beautiful Thursday, headed to a weekend, looking for the biggest trade involving both sides had superstars. Another text, the Gretzky trade. Cash is a big star.
It's Cash, and there were players that went back, right? But nobody that was near Gretzky name power that I can remember. Jari Kurri goes back to L.A., doesn't he?
It's Gretzky, Marty McSorley, and another guy for Jimmy Carson, Martin Jelena, 3 firsts and $15 million in cash.
Yeah, no offense to those two players, but, like, come on. They're not kidding.
I guess the point would be here, it can't be a trade that has 10 pieces, because then you know that everybody in that trade is that much short of the other guy.
Right.
Exactly. So it's almost like I want to ask, what's the biggest one for one trade in history? That's kind of what this is.
Yeah.
Kind of has to be one for one. Because if we have two sides of a trade and one side of the trade includes $15 million and 3 firsts,
uh-huh.
I feel like that's the side that's getting the
$15 million in 1980.
Yeah.
Six or
and
whatever.
3 first-round picks. Like, yeah, that's the team that's getting the better piece.
Yeah.
803-0550. Fun combo, though. You can jump in if you want. Got a couple callers on hold on this. And does anybody else want to sign up for that rental idea? Come on.
The rental idea. You're only getting 1 year of the guy for Byram.
Yep. 803-0550. If you make your hockey team better for 1 year, would you trade Bo Byram for a playoff berth and nothing else? Yes. Who would say no?
Everybody would say yes.
I know
it's
impossible to kind of guarantee that this one move you get is going to get that, but
sure.
You should definitely be looking to go ahead and acquire a player you will not extend. If you think you're a first-class organization, just go ahead and act like one. Have him here. When he leaves, treat him with class, and that's your next stage if you're the Sabres.
And maybe you'll get lucky and make the playoffs, and the guy will be like, actually, you know what?
I
will stay here.
Or if you don't make the playoffs and you're out of it, you trade him at the deadline. And then you recoup the cost that way.
Yeah.
803-0550, our number. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.